Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. Well, I'm finally back out on the road. It's been just a couple weeks since I did a segment out on the road. It's Monday morning, the week of June 19th, 2009, episode 65, Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. Well, the honest assessment is that I'm having some trouble getting back into training. So, if for whatever reason you listen to this podcast for inspiration or anything like that, that's what I listen to other running podcasts for. This one might be a little void of that. And it's only because I just had a heck of a time getting back into running. I've just kind of done some 4 milers the last few days, which made me very tired. It doesn't really help matters much either that I'm on a call for work this week, and so my sleep patterns are a little off. But sometimes that's the way it goes. Your training is not always gonna, if you were to graph it, it's not always gonna be a steady ascent. It's gonna have different peaks and valleys. And I guess sometimes I expect too much from myself and always feel like I should be improving with distance, going higher and higher and higher and higher. Sometimes you just have to live through the valleys. I kind of feel like I'm in one right now. Gotta figure out a way out. I mean, I've got a fall race planned, actually two. Probably gonna run the Outer Banks Half Marathon, although I'm not officially registered for it. But all that seems so far away. I mean, it's only June, and November's 5 months away. It just seems so far. I am going to run the cul-de-sac series in Richmond, which is a consecutive 3-week, every Monday night, series of 5Ks. But I can't get any faster. So those are really just 3-mile training runs. 3.1 mile training runs, and I'm still just drawn to the long distance, so the short stuff doesn't really attract me but so much. And I know that sounds, it could sound very arrogant, but I'm just one of those long slow distance guys, not a sprinter. And I know you got to be real careful when you talk like that, because you can offend other people to the point where they don't really want to converse with you, because they know all you really tend to talk about is the long stuff, whereas a 5K might really be their desired thing, and they like longer distance, but 5K is their favorite. And there's so many 5Ks around Richmond. In fact, on the Richmond Roadrunners message board on the website, there's been some commenting about how there's too many road races in Richmond, and they don't coordinate with. God, I'm already out of breath. I've only been running 4 minutes. It's hot, it's humid, steady rain, drizzling rain here and there. That the Richmond races don't coordinate with the Fredericksburg races or races in the Tidewater area, which is southeast Virginia. You know, to each his own. I say places can do whatever they want. But, you know, if you want to, I mean, I'd look to those areas for potential stuff to run. And it'd be nice if it linked up with stuff in Richmond, like the bigger events, like the longer distances. Maybe they do, I don't know. But I don't necessarily want to be racing every weekend somewhere, because I mean, I'm not really racing, I'm just running. But if it's going to be the longer events, you know, longer than 10Ks, for example, now that's something I would be interested in registering for and going out and doing. There's people over here that probably think I'm crazy talking to myself. More. So overall, I'm just having a hell of a time getting back into a mental position to keep running. I mean, I still enjoy it. Been drawn to my mountain bike here for some reason, and due to the darn rain, haven't been able to get out at that new park I've been talking about the last couple weeks, and something's got to change about that. I got to get out there. I was kind of hoping to do it one or two mornings this week, because I'm working evenings, but it's darn rain. It would just make riding in the mud not too much fun. So I'm going to bypass that altogether. So I've been looking at a training plan for the fall. And I've kind of been putting it off, but the other day I finally counted back 18 weeks from the Richmond Marathon so I could get some base mileage up, where I could start a program and not overwhelm myself in the first week. I mean, I'm barely running 10 miles a week over the last couple weeks. And I think I have to about the first week in July before I really need to start logging some stuff and keeping track of it. And until then, I can probably just screw around a little bit with recreational runs and, you know, 4 to 5 milers. I tell you, I'm not running with my dog today because it's raining. But running with him has actually been a lot of fun. It's made running a little different. I still found myself tired after about 30 minutes and just wanting to take a break. So today I'm going to try to do a full 5. Just steady without taking any walk breaks. Just see if I can still do it. And I'm running around a 10 or 3 pace, which is perfect for my ability and my lifestyle. Just don't think I can, for the long term, maintain much faster than that. Unless I was to really do some speed work. And the problem with my desire to get faster is that it's lacking. And I know there are some people that think you should have a speed workout in your training regimen. I've never really done it. I preferred to add the hills in there, which I'm going to have to do starting in July. Just going to have to make myself do it. And the reason is I just don't know exactly how much faster it's going to make me. I mean, I'm at a 4:17 marathon right now. And the next milestone for me would be 4 hours. 4.5 hours was my milestone for a couple marathons. And then I've been able to break that for the last few 26 milers that I did. And 17 minutes is a lot to take off. That's just over a minute every mile. Now, there might be some different ways to do that. I could alter the Galloway method that I've done and run harder each time I run and try to pick up the time there. But I haven't done any analysis of that yet, so I don't know if that's even possible. I'm not even sure if I, you know, have it in me mentally to try to get down to 4 hours. I just don't know if I can do it with weighing 200 pounds. And with all the running I've done, I've never really cut much weight. Probably because I consumed so much food. All right, made it to the first mile in 10:01. Like I said, it's probably started off too fast and then slowed down. That's why I was winded at the beginning. So these are the things I think about when I go out running, constantly analyzing what I should do in the next race. I'm going to stop my watch for a second because I'm stuck in traffic. I just saw a license plate on the car that said, "Tweet me." Person must really be into Twitter. I lost my train of thought. All right. So what am I going to do with Richmond? Here I went from thinking it's 6 months away to starting to contemplate what I'm going to do that day. Well, when I ran Richmond in 06, I ran 4:44:59. So clearly the objective is to break that time and break 4.5. Now, Richmond's a heck of a course. It's got people everywhere. You're rarely lonely. Thousands of people run it. It's got a couple hills, nothing too bad. Usually you run into a headwind going across the James River. I've run the route or pieces of it many, many times. So what I'm thinking is I'll probably do my long runs on part of the course, and I might even band it with sports backers here and there, because I've got some friends doing that. Only problem with that is a lot of my friends that are doing it run a faster pace than me. I'm talking about my Team Incognito buds, because I've always kind of done my own thing, and I'm just kind of proud of that, really. But in fact, I've never been on a formal marathon training program. I've really just kind of done it through peers and reading a lot, doing research to figure out the best way to handle it. I've had some thoughts of doing the 3-day-a-week plan, like I did for the B&A marathon a couple years ago. That's a trail marathon that's in Maryland. And I broke, that's when I was able to finally break 4.5 hours on a 3-day-a-week plan. Strongly thinking about that. Morning. However, I don't know when I'd get my hill workout in. I've got this great hill that I run. It's down on Bluntsbridge Road, and it's in the shade in the afternoons. It's about a quarter mile up, quarter mile down, so it's kind of easy to measure your workout. It's actually, the very top of it's out in the sun. But it's a pretty good hill. Matter of fact, it's, I think, the same one that Tom Grant uses for his Patrick Henry Half Marathon training team. But what I did last year, or maybe it was the year before, was when I was training for the Baltimore Marathon, I utilized that hill. And I'd heard that Baltimore was very hilly, although I didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was a great course. But I would run out to there from my house, and I don't think I'm going to do that this summer, because I'm going to need to get more repeats in, because there's one hill that comes off the James River on the Richmond Marathon route that kills me. It killed me during the Stratford Hills 10K. It killed me during the Richmond Marathon. So I'll be ready for it this year, because I'm going to have my hills under my belt. My goal is to slay Richmond this year. Not necessarily, you know, have a personal record or anything, but to conquer it like it conquered me in 2006. So my goal is to come inside 4.5 with whatever method I feel like doing that day, and I'll get closer to figuring that out as I get into my longer double-digit runs. I don't think I need to focus on that today, but maybe today's the day I need to get in that zone. I mean, here I am. God, I've already picked up my pace just by thinking about it. I need to draw it back a little bit. Otherwise, I'm never going to make the 5 miles because the humidity, God, is getting hot. Anyway, I've been very pleased to hear that there's lots of people running Richmond that I'm going to know. So I think the after race little get together is going to be good. Probably going to piggyback a little bit off of the Ashland Runner girls. Several of them are doing sports backers. I think they're on the pink team. Call themselves Pink Nation or something. Kind of funny. But they'll probably have a little get-together, which includes all spouses and families, and that's kind of become a nice little social group here in town. But I'm also thinking that my Team Incognito group might, I'm not sure, we all got together after the race, and when it was our first, we've all kind of matured a lot in running since then. Some people already getting their abilities to the point where they can get prizes. So I don't know what we'll do. I was just kind of rambling on a little bit about kind of speculating on what people might do. I remember after I ran that first and I just wanted to go home. I couldn't believe we had to go back out that night. And I remember my wife had parked the car several blocks from the finish, like probably 10 blocks. It was awful. It was uphill because the finish of the Richmond Marathon is downhill, which means it's the lower part of the city. And we had parked up by the Richmond Coliseum, which is way higher. And remember, all I wanted was some French fries and a milkshake. So that's what we did. Anyway, I'll talk a lot more about Richmond as the weeks go on. It's kind of a big deal this year. Like I said last week, all the Runners World staff are going to be in town. There'll be a lot of promotion of it on TV. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day. God, I wish I could remember who it was. Who was commenting on how we could get all these people out here to run in Richmond every weekend and get thousands of people at an event. Monument Avenue 10K, you can get 30,000 plus people. The Richmond Marathon, you can get thousands of people out to run the full half and AK races. But for some reason, we just don't have a fan base to keep a baseball team in town. Richmond Braves recently moved, which is the farm team of the Atlanta Braves. We couldn't keep a hockey team here. Richmond Renegades, I think they've left, if I'm not mistaken. We got a semi-pro soccer team, Richmond Kickers. We can't keep baseball. But yet, thousands of people want to go run every weekend somewhere. Hundreds of people want to do a marathon training team. Kind of an interesting thing. All right, 4 miles. I got an excuse there. 39:19. Pretty much maintained around a 10-minute, a little below. At the 3-mile mark, I lost everything. I lost all interest in doing 5 miles, and I made the cut towards home. Kind of trying to figure that out. I guess my excuse is I just got tired. I also got the contractor coming over at 10 to look at a project at our house, so I thought, yeah, I need to get home and cool off before this guy comes over. So that's my excuse. God, I came out feeling good. was talking a lot of smack about doing 5 miles, and all I did was 4. So anyway, that's average, because that's what I ran Saturday. I think that's what I ran Friday. And Friday was the first run I had done since the Stratford Hills 10K. So I'm slowly getting back into it. I guess I shouldn't expect too much from myself. Yeah, I seem to have said that before. Well, that's it for today. I'm gonna walk home in the rain. All right, we got a couple emails this week, or I got a couple emails this week, and got a request for the DVD. Got that from Jim Smith out of Red Bluff, California. And Jim, that DVD is on the way, and you too can get a DVD of the Sterling Gym 40 Mile Ultra Marathon. Kind of a self-documentary. It's a DVD quality, meaning you can pop it in your DVD player and play it. It's got the regular race video that I made with two different cameras, and got deleted scenes and a like a slideshow of all the pictures that we took of the race and different things in the race. So if you're interested in that, you can send me a request at ashlanddave@gmail.com and give me an address where to send it, and it's free, and I'll even send it to you on my dime. But all I ask is that you send a $5 donation to Ashland Christian Emergency Services, and I'll provide you with that address, and that's on the honor system. So even if you don't send the donation, I'll never know, because I won't go check up on that. But usually runners are pretty honest people, and they'll do that. So anyway, Jim, it's on the way. You probably already got it by now, out in California. Jim is going to do a little bit of his own video, his own video project. He and a team are going to be doing the Cascade Lakes Relay in California, and I'll put a link in the show notes to this site. It's gonna be Jim's first time doing it, but he's gonna be on a team of some folks that have done it before, and apparently there's some kind of video challenge where the team that makes the best video of the race gets a free entry into next year's race, and that's significant. Jim said that the entrance fee is close to $1,000 for the whole team, so that is pretty significant. So hopefully y'all will do real well. Jim, it's a 260-mile relay on 12 people. It's in Oregon, and it's at the end of July. And Jim's going to put together the video for his team. So I shared some of my techniques that I use to make my videos. And he's been practicing a little bit. He's got a little 1 to 2 minute short video on Runcast TV. You can check that out at runcast.tv. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And that was just a little video that he did on at Haynes Creek Trail on May 24th of 2009. So Jim, I did see that. That's pretty cool. He's got a little technique that he uses where he kind of sets the camera out and runs past it. I know that sounds silly to people that don't normally make videos, but it's kind of effective on kind of just making the statement that he's looking for. And sometimes running videos are actually pretty cool because of the scenery, and if you can kind of get into and appreciate the struggle that people have when they're doing long runs, sometimes that shows up on the video, and someone who's watching can kind of share an experience. So, Jim, that's really cool. Hope you like the DVD. I did try it out, so it should work for you. And thanks for the emails this week. Appreciate it very much. I heard from Andre, and sounds like the DVD I sent her worked. She also got one and liked it a lot. And she said that she half expected to hear the national anthem at the end of the video. And you know, Andre, I should have done that, and I'm going to do that on the next one. I didn't even think about doing that. Pretty easy thing to do, and I don't know why I didn't do it. So anyway, it's a good idea, and I'm probably going to do it the next time. So I appreciate you mentioning that. Appreciate you listening to the podcast, and thanks for the email. Heard from Rich down in the Woodlands, Texas. We exchanged lots of emails about marathoning and racing and stuff that we're doing with different races. And he is going to be doing the Austin Marathon, which is in February. And he says he's pretty much decided to do it. So, Rich, I hope you do decide to do that. He'll have 3 weeks to recover from that before he does the Texas Independence Relay.
which I think is the 1st of March or end of February. And that's he's going to start training in July. And his regular training group, WoodlandsFit.com, kicks off its season for the Houston Marathon, which is a little early for him. So I guess he's going to maybe I don't have the scheduling quite right there, but he says he's going to help mentor some of the new runners because he's a veteran marathoner. So, Rich, I think that's great that you're doing that. And as nice as you seem and exchanging emails with you and hearing about what you're doing, I'm sure that you can be a real good mentor to some of those new marathoners. And doing your marathon for the first time is always kind of a scary thing because you're not really quite sure how much you bit off, but you definitely figure that out on marathon day. So hopefully you give them some good tips and some good insight on what to expect, and I think that you're definitely a good one for doing that. So that's nice of you to do. And appreciate the email as always, and I'm glad that you still listen to the show. Rich has listened to the show from the very beginning. I guess all 65 episodes now that he's probably listening to this one. So, Rich, thanks for sticking around. I got a couple other things to hit on before the show wraps up. One of my teammates on Team Incognito, Megan, she did get a personal record at the Carytown 10K, which was back on May 17th, 2009. I was out of town to win that race. I had a kind of a college reunion of sorts down at the beach, and otherwise I would have gone out there. But she ran a 45:27, which is outstanding for a 10K. Outstanding. I mean, that's fast. And, so Megan, well done. And I did get your message on that, so I was glad to share that in the podcast. And Megan's a regular listener to the show. She got a little behind in episodes, she said, but she's caught up, and I'm honored that she listens to the show. She's a pretty fast runner, and she's developed into a great competitor because she's putting down some great times, and hopefully we'll get to see her soon run a race with her, or at least see her at the finish. She always gets there before I do. So, Megan, look forward to seeing you. In fact, we got a happy hour coming up for our Team Incognito, so I'll look forward to seeing everybody there, and hopefully you'll make, I think you're making that. I'm not sure if you're going to make that or not. So, appreciate you listening to the show, and congrats on your PR. Also, I submitted my first race report to Richmond Roadrunners magazine or newsletter, and hopefully they'll put that up in the next one. That's the I did a condensed version of the Sterling Gym race report, because I've noticed that sometimes when people go to different places and run these long races, they'll write up a little report for the magazine, and I've noticed that they'll publish it. So I had to narrow it down to 1,000 words, which wasn't that easy because I tend to ramble on a lot. But I got it down to about 1,000 words and sent them in a couple pictures. And hopefully they'll put them in a magazine. And so I'll report on that next time around. That's the Richmond Roadrunners Club newsletter that comes out every month. And it's a pretty good newsletter. It's always got lots of neat stuff in it. And sometimes they always have good race results from the local races in there. And they always include all the volunteers' names, which is really cool. Last thing I want to hit on is this thing that went on last weekend. And it was something that Coach Ken over at the Running Stupid podcast participated in. It was the Lake Merritt 12-hour run. And this is part of the, I'm not sure where Lake Merritt is. I know it's in California. It's part of the Pacific Coast Trail Run series. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, because there's lots of different races. Anyway, Coach Ken did a 12-hour run. And the cool thing about this was that they had a live webcast where they put the results out. I think they updated it each hour, and you could log onto the site and see where everybody was at, and you could actually send messages to the runners through an email system where you just could do it right on the screen. I guess they print them out, or they have them for the runners. And Coach Ken had sent out an email to all his running friends, I guess, and I'm on that list, so I'm honored, with the links and all that, and just, you know, suggesting to send little funny tidbits into him so he, you know, have something to think about and while he's doing his ultra. And so I did that on, I think over the course of several hours, I was at the house and I would check in at the top of the hour to see how he was doing. I think he did 40 plus miles, well over 40 miles in 12 hours. So I sent in several little messages to him and haven't heard back from him yet. So I don't know if they made it to him or not. I'll have to send him an email to check it out. But I thought it was a pretty cool idea to do that. And anyway, hopefully, Ken, you got those messages. I don't know if you still listen to my podcast or not. I've definitely got yours on the top of my list. I like listening to it. And if you haven't listened to Coach Ken's Running Stupid podcast, you definitely ought to check it out. This guy does a 50K or 50-miler almost every weekend, it seems, while holding down two jobs, being married, and putting together a podcast. So I'm not really sure what he does outside of all that. I don't think he's got any children, so that's probably why he has some of this time to do it. But it's got a pretty funny show where he's got this segment where he stalks Dean Karnazes. So anyway, it's a really funny show, and he's into kazoos and all this weird stuff, and he's got a funny sense of humor. So check out his podcast at runningstupid.net. I think I'll have a link to it in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. So make sure you check that out. I think it's one of the better podcasts out there. It's definitely on my my iPod. All right, well, that's the show this week. A little shorter, and trying to keep it down to 30 minutes. I feel like that's a good consistent podcast. I'm going to try to stick to a weekly to every 10 days interval. And definitely getting my miles in again. I'll be starting week one for my fall marathon training coming up, which will be my 10th marathon. So that's pretty darn exciting. Pretty exciting stuff going on here in the center of the universe. So anyway, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week. Later.